Good morning.
Good morning.
Due to some impromptu changes this morning, I am up here this morning, and if it's going to be a little bit different. If you have a scripture sheet that was printed out, it does not apply today. So we will be kind of doing it the old-fashioned way today. It will be me and the Bible, and you, and if you have your Bible or a way to look up verses, it will be that this morning, kind of old-fashioned, which isn't a bad thing by any means. We're going to start in Romans 6:1. If you have the opportunity, just turn there, Romans 6:1. And Paul writes, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." After committing to Christ, the question often comes, okay, what now? It says newness of life. What is that newness of life? How do I do this? What do I do now? And as we've studied, for those who've been in our Wednesday night studies, you see a common theme that runs over and over, and that is God saying, if you will just turn back to me, then I will bless you. We have people throughout scriptures who make poor decisions. They go after other gods. They turn away from God's teachings. And he says, if you just come back to me, then I will bless you. Just turn around. Well, that newness of life is being someone else, is turning around. Now, turning around is hard. Turning around is a difficult thing. People have once said, once you become a Christian, you have to make a 360. Well, no, that would put you right back where you started. When you become a Christian, you make a 180. You turn the other way. Now, why is that such a difficult thing? Well, picture yourself in your car. You're on an empty road, and you have to turn around. Well, it's easy, right? You just take your car and you turn around. Now, picture yourself in your car on that same road, and there's a whole bunch of other cars all coming very quickly beside you, all at the same time, and you have to turn around. Well, it's very difficult to do that. And it's the same thing in our Christian life, is that we want to turn around, we want to go the other way, we want to take a new path, but it's difficult because there's so many others coming up beside us, coming up around us, so many forces pushing against us, then it makes it very difficult to turn around. But Jesus, in Luke chapter 6, which is where we're going to be reading from next, Jesus in Luke chapter 6 gives many examples of how we live that new life, how we walk in that newness of life. After the Beatitudes, which we've heard many times, telling all those who are blessed in the kingdom, he goes on to then lay out, what do I do now? How do I live a new life? Jesus had said to his disciples, he said, go into all the world preaching the good news and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Well, what were the things that he had commanded them? Well, these are some of those things that we're about to read. And he gives these things not as something to do and be perfect at from the beginning. One thing that makes it difficult in our life as a Christian is we think that we're going to have it all together right away. We think we're just going to be able to pick it up and we're going to be great at it. But everything that anyone becomes good at is learned through repetition. Suppose that a woman wants to knit. She decides, I have never knit before and I am going to be a knitter. So she grabs her knitting stuff. You can tell I'm a knitter. She grabs her knitting stuff and she starts working on it. And she says, I'm going to make a sweater. So she knits away for maybe a day or so. She holds it up and she realizes that it looks like a slightly deformed caterpillar eating cheese. So what does she do then? Does she give up on it? Does she say, I can't knit. All I can do is make things that don't look like a sweater. No, she knits again, and she knits again. And maybe after a year or so of knitting sessions, she has sweaters that look like sweaters. Maybe after 10 years, she is the chief sweater maker for her community. But that's because she kept making sweaters. She didn't give up when it didn't look like a sweater. And in the Christian life, it's all about repetition, learning to be new, learning to walk in newness of life. If we walk away from the baptistry, or we walk away from our commitment to Christ and say, all right, I'm new now, and nothing's going to go wrong, everything is going to go wrong. It's going to be difficult to follow. So Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 24, he says, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. So Jesus starts off saying, woe to you who think you have it all together. Woe to you who have everything that you need already, because you don't. He says, if you think you have it all together, you've got a lot to learn. For it's difficult, as we just said, to be different, to turn around. Woe to men when all men speak well of you. When everyone thinks that you're great, there might be a problem. Jesus says, what I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. So Jesus starts off saying, do exactly what most people don't do. Love those people who don't love you. When someone curses you, when someone says bad things to you, bless them instead. Say nice things back. He says, to him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. He says, if someone strikes you on the cheek, let him strike the other cheek also. Someone hurts you, someone says something to you that offends you, what should your reaction be? It should be blessing them. It should be instead speaking nice to them. If someone takes from you, don't expect things back. Are all these things difficult? Oh, they're very difficult. They're meant to be difficult. They're meant to be learned through repetition, through learning to be different, through learning to be like Christ. Remember, as Jesus was being led, before he was led to the cross, that he was beat, that he was struck. Did he open his mouth? Did he protest? Did he strike back? He could have called 10,000 angels, as the song says, to destroy the world and set him free. He could have done that, but he didn't. Instead, he took it because he knew it was for the greater good. He knew it was to glorify God. His reward wasn't here. Our reward isn't here on this earth. But if you love those who love you, he continues in verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. It's easy to be nice to someone who's nice to us. It's easy to do good things to someone who does good things for us. But Jesus says, do good to everyone. It doesn't matter how nice they are or how good they are. He says, and if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. Why? For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Think of all the people in the world that we see that they have no interest in following God, that we see that they could be called evil people, or that they're doing things that appear to be evil, and yet they may be wealthy, They may be successful. They may seem happy. Well, God provides for everyone. God takes care of everyone. But our reward isn't here. We have to show the same mercy and the same kindness that God does, knowing that we'll be like him. We'll be like sons of our Father in heaven, it says. He goes on in verse 37, making things even more difficult for us. He says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." That's difficult. It's very easy to judge everyone that we see around us. It's easy to say, well, I'm glad I'm not like them. I'm glad that my family's not like that family. I'm glad that we have things all together. But what he's saying here, he's saying that if you're going to judge someone, you better make sure that you're not doing the same thing. You better make sure that you've got everything all together, because you're going to be judged with that same measure. He goes on and says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your lap. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Now remember that. With the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. We don't need to be people who are always trying to figure out what's wrong with everyone else. Instead, Jesus asks us to figure out what's wrong with us and to work on that. And others will take care of themselves. Our responsibility is to make sure that we are following the right direction. Now, does that mean we can't help others? That we can't criticize when needed? Constructive criticism, as we like to say. Well, we can certainly help others. We must help others. We must help others to find Christ. But we have to make sure that we have ourselves together before we do that. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? Jesus saying, if you are doing the same thing they are, both of you are going to fall into the ditch. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in you, in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Now, when Jesus told that, it was probably a hilarious example. Think about that. You say to someone, you've got a speck in your eye, and you're standing there and you have a 2x4 coming out of yours. That would be hilarious. But that's what we do when we're judging others. We say, well, why are you, I don't know why you're doing that. Well, we're doing the same thing or worse probably in our own lives. We have to take care of that first before we begin to remove that speck from our brother's eye. You see, Jesus realized people. Jesus knew people. Jesus knew our nature. And he's giving us things, practical things, to be able to help us be more like him, to help us to be able to follow and to lead. And then he says a tree is known by its fruit. He says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. See, when people hear us, when people hear us speaking, do they hear the words of a person that's following Christ? Or do they think, well, you sound just like everybody else? See, Jesus knows that people will know what's in our heart by what we say, what we do. And finally, he tells us that we have to have our foundation correct. All these things that we are doing has to be because we are followers of Christ, not just because we want to be a good person. He says we have to have that foundation correct. He says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. He's saying when you lay your foundation for your life, you have to lay that foundation on Christ and on his word. Otherwise, when difficulty comes along, when that stream of cars coming as you're trying to turn around, when all that comes against you, you're going to collapse. You're going to fall. You're not going to be able to uphold and live that life. You have to build your foundation on Christ. Depend on him. So is it going to be easy? Is it easy as we try to walk through this Christian life day in and day out? No, it's not going to be easy. But if we continually come back to Christ, come back to his word, then we will always find that hope. We'll find that strength to do it again. We'll find that strength as the woman learning to knit. We'll find that strength to try again. Just keep trying until you master it, until you learn it. Jesus didn't give these words that I read this morning as things that we're going to pick up and we're going to be able to do flawlessly each and every day, but he gave it as something that we do through repetition. And maybe you who I'm speaking to this morning have gotten that, have learned those things, do those things on a regular basis. Or maybe, even like me, you struggle with it. You struggle to always say the things that you should say, to always live the way that you should live, to always be the example that you should be. And that's why we continue to do it, why we continue to practice, why we do those things over and over, and why Jesus laid out these words for us to read this morning. This morning we offer the invitation, if you haven't committed yourself to Christ, or if, like I spoke about this morning, you have, but you find it difficult to turn around, to continually make that turn to follow Christ. You find the waves beating against you, the difficulties of the world around you. Whatever your need, we're here for you this morning. If you'd come right now as we stand together and sing.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus.